J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Chick-fil-A. I could eat there 7 times a day, where the people laugh and children play. Oh, I'm in love with Chick-fil-A. Suddenly, I need waffle fries in front of me, with some nuggets and a large sweet tea. Oh, Chick-fil-A, you set me free. Kids, get in the van so we can go there today. But their stores are closed, oh I know, 'cause it's Sunday.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, July 7th, 2022, 127 days remaining. Our American democratic system of government, as we've known it. How are you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. Looks like the weather is going to moderate. Another brutally hot day today, although I've got an excessive heat warning again. But they're saying that the cloud cover could hold the temperatures down a little bit. So we'll see whether that shakes out or not. But at this point, all I really care about, and I think a lot of people care about, is Saturday night. The weather looks like it's going to be glorious for El Monstero. Part of our podcast today is going to be a conversation with Kevin Gangdepan from El Monstero. We've had him on before, and we've had nice conversations, but this time it got goofy. You know, you're doing a 3-hour live show, and this is not just 4 guys standing on stage playing Proud Mary and Cold as Ice. If you've been to these shows or you know anything about Pink Floyd music, or if you know what the stage show involves, it's miraculous that they're able to pull it off without any fuck-ups, basically. Well, it turns out there have been a lot of mess-ups. We just didn't know about it because they kept going, and there's some great stories, and Kevin is going to tell us those stories coming up in our final segment here today. And if you're going to Pink Floyd, or I should say El Monstero, you might as well say Pink Floyd. El Monstero is better than Pink Floyd right now. And I know that, that would be heresy for a lot of people to say, and maybe you disagree with it. But if you put Pink Floyd together right now, original members, El Monstero would sound better. They really, really have it down to a science. If you say to yourself, oh, no, I'm going to wait till the Australian Pink Floyd comes in. You know, I thought the Australian Pink Floyd was good, too, until I saw El Monstero, and now El Monstero blows them out of the water, too. I was up way too late last night watching TV. I'm tired today, but I'm sure I'll perk right up as soon as I think of something to perk me right up. All right, so James Comey and Andrew McCabe are saying that Trump used the IRS to have them targeted. I think everybody remembers James Comey. Andrew McCabe, you see on the talk news shows in the evening. These were big shot FBI officials who made comments derogatory in the direction of one Mr. Cheeto McTweeto. And they're saying, even though the IRS is flatly denying this, they're saying that, okay, you know, I gave this testimony and Trump said, told the IRS, go get him. And all I know is they're resuming the January 6th hearings on Tuesday, and both Cheney and Kinzinger have said, oh, yeah, ever since we had this chick come by last week, people are just coming out of the woodwork with their own stories. We have lots of new testimony, lots of stuff we didn't even know about when this committee started up. And if you think Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony came down like a pile of bricks. Wait until you hear this stuff. So that's all happening on Tuesday, but on, well, tomorrow. Yeah, it's tomorrow. Pat Cipollone, the guy they've been trying to get, he's been subpoenaed and now he's agreed to testify tomorrow. But I think that's going to be behind closed doors. That's no fun. It's all over the local news in St. Louis. I'm waiting to see how long it takes before this thing goes national, because it probably will. They're having sex at the county executive's office. Supposedly in the office just on the other side of the wall from Sam Page, who is sitting there in his office just having people hate him 24 hours a day. His chief of staff is boinking somebody there in the office right on the opposite wall from Sam Page. And the guy has resigned. It's turned into a big scandal. And yeah, if you're going to do something like that, you better keep it quiet. But here's the big question. Why was the guy videotaping it? Because that's what got him. It wasn't the fact that he hadn't sex. I'd like to tell you how much sex goes on in office buildings during the workday and after hours. It's going on all the time, just in case you didn't know. But this guy decided to tape it. And how does the tape end up in the hands of a Republican operative, a guy who just happens to be running for office later on this year? How's that happen? I could tell you stories about stuff that goes on in radio and TV stations. Holy Christ. When I was in Buffalo, we had a television station right down the street from us, and one of our receptionists was boinking the weather guy. And, you know, when you watch TV and you see these elaborate sets, you know, the weather set with the Doppler thing and the lasers and all this sort of stuff, you go behind that, and it's just a bunch of boards and wires, and it's dark. If you've ever been part of a theater or stage production, you know how really pathetic it looks backstage. For all of the glitz and the glamour and, like I said, the lights and the lasers and all that sort of stuff that's out on the stage, just turn that around and imagine the diametric opposite of that. Anyhow, this receptionist we had, she just walked down the street during her lunch hour and boinked the weather guy behind the weather set. They did it all the time, and they talked about it like it was some big joke. There's hardly anybody in radio stations anymore. They used to be big, broad, spread out things. And now, like, one of the radio stations in St. Louis just moved from the Highlands over there where the old barn used to be. And they're in a place now in the Foundry area, and it's like 5,000 square feet. I had a house once that was 4,300 square feet. That's how few people work in radio and television stations now. I think when we were at K-Hits, see, there were four stations in that building. I think we had something like about 130 employees. Now there's like 30. You think I'm making that up? I'm not. So people were always, coming and going, and the places were huge. You could be at one part of the radio station, you could be there all day, and nobody even necessarily know you were there. They were big places. And in those days, somebody was always getting boinked. I don't know if it was just me, but I've had several girlfriends along the way who wanted to do it on their boss's desk after hours. I don't know, some sort of a power thing, I guess. But the radio station, they used to give tours, and somebody says, "Oh, just sit down." And I go, "Oh, don't sit there." If you were inside a radio station and there was a couch anywhere near where the disc jockeys are in the building, rule of thumb, don't sit on it, don't touch it, don't get near it. I don't mean to be unnecessarily vulgar here, but some of those couches were actually crusty, and I'm just going to leave it at that. And then, of course, there is Paul Harvey, and I've told this story before, just in case you missed it. Back in the, this would have been the early 70s, there was a rock station there owned by ABC called WDAI. And very, very good radio station, by the way. And ABC also owned the rights to Paul Harvey. So right on the other side of the wall of the studio of this rock station, WDAI, if you could drill a hole in the wall, you would go right into Paul Harvey's shower. He had a personal bathroom and shower in his office. And the guys at the radio station were like, we hear that wall reverberating, sort of vibrating all the time, all hours of the day and night. Why is Paul Harvey taking a shower or several showers in the middle of the day? And somebody finally figured it out. Paul Harvey had a little dolly on the side. He had some side action going. And so I don't know where Angel was, but Paul Harvey would do a little boinking on the side and then go take a shower. And this would be going on right in his office, in his suite. And now you know the rest of the story. Speaking of Paul Harvey, whose brain was pretty much locked in the 1950s, somebody sent me this, and it's really funny. These are comments that were made in the year 1957. Okay, so you got to take yourself back to the whole mindset of the late 50s, and here's what people said. I'll tell you one thing. If things keep going the way they are, it's going to be impossible to buy a week's groceries for $20. I remember those days. I'm afraid to send my kids to the movies anymore. Ever since they let Clark Gable get by with saying damn in Gone with the Wind, it seems every new movie either has hell or damn in it. Number three, have you seen the new cars coming out this year? It won't be long before $5,000 is only going to buy a used one. If cigarettes keep going up in price, I'm going to have to quit. A quarter a pack? That's ridiculous. Did you hear the post office is thinking about charging a dime just to mail a letter? If they raise the minimum wage to a dollar, nobody will be able to hire outside help at the store. When I first started driving, who would have thought gas would someday cost 29 cents a gallon? Kids today are impossible. Those ducktail haircuts make it impossible to stay groomed. Next thing you know, boys will be wearing their hair as long as a girl's. If they think I'll pay 50 cents for a haircut, forget it. I read the news the other day where some scientist thinks it's possible to put a man on the moon by the end of the century. They even have some fellows they call astronauts preparing for it down in Texas. Did you see where the baseball player just signed a contract for $75,000 a year? Someday, these baseball players are going to be making more than the president. I never thought I'd see the day all our kitchen appliances would be electric. They're even making electric typewriters now. And there's maybe seven or eight more of these things. I'll post this on my Facebook page after the podcast today, and you can see all of them. You've probably seen, you know, PM Magazine isn't on the air anymore, is it? Nice contemporary reference, JC. But somebody's always doing these little sidebar stories about stuff that goes on at baseball games and stadiums and stuff. And at Dodger Stadium, there's a famous vendor by the name of Roger Owens. And I know I've seen this. I've seen him in person at Chavez Ravine, but I've also seen stories about him on the news over the years. He's been throwing peanuts to people in the crowd for 60 years. And you guessed it. Somebody has come along now and said, there's a safety issue. You can't do it anymore. He said he's disappointed, but he's not going to fight it. Leave enough lawyers in charge and they'll ruin everything. George Clooney's Batman suit from Batman and Robin hitting the auction block this month. Starting bid is $40,000. That's the one with the nipples on it, by the way. Ringo turns 82 today, and at noon he wants you to, I don't know, send peace and love into the universe or something. Elon Musk fathered twins last year with an executive at one of his companies. Watch that space. Tim Allen has a yacht on Lake Michigan, and it has leaked 40 to 50 gallons of fuel and forced the closure of a marina up there. In an interview with GQ last month, Brad Pitt said he suffers from a condition where he can't remember people's faces. For some reason, the story just popped up yesterday. A couple of sports notes here. Tiger Woods is going to play the British Open next week. Baker Mayfield has been traded to the Carolina Panthers. All right. Here is a cast that will get your attention. You ready? This is in one movie. Christian Bale, Margot Robbie, John David Washington, Robert De Niro, Chris Rock, Taylor Swift, Anya Taylor-Joy, Mike Myers, Rami Malek, Zoe Saldana, Timothy Oliphant, and Michael Shannon. You'll see all of them in the trailer for a new movie called Amsterdam. Remember Potsy? Anson Williams. This is why I can't do math. This is why I can't learn anything new, because my head is jammed up with the real, honest to God name of the guy who played Potsy on Happy Days. He's running for mayor of a town in California, Ojai, California. And Vince Neil is using a teleprompter. If you thought you saw him the other night reading the lyrics off the prompter, you weren't crazy. Well, at least not for that reason. In addition to Ringo turning 82 today, Jim Gaffigan is 56. Shelley Duvall, Jack Nicholson's wife in The Shining, 73. Doc Severinsen, band leader for Johnny Carson, 95 today. Styx released The Grand Illusion. That was their seventh album. That was 45 years ago today, 1977. That was Come Sail Away, Fooling Yourself. Pretty good album. Zeppelin played their final show on this date, 1980. And for some reason, in 2001, Drew Barrymore married Tom Green. That lasted a whole 6 months. Oh, and one more note on the situation up in Highland Park. As we talked about yesterday, the kid's father ran for mayor up there on a platform of no restrictions against gun sales. Well, listen to this. The father of the Highland Park shooting suspect sponsored his son's application for a gun permit months after relatives reported that Robert E. Cremo III had threatened to, and this is a quote, kill everyone. So the father knew the kid was unstable and still signed off on him buying a gun. Okay, we got rid of that. Now let's talk about the important stuff. BuzzFeed asked people to vote on burger toppings, and one stat stood out. 8% of us think hot dogs are an acceptable topping for a burger. So you order a burger, and what would you like on that? I like hot dogs. Then came ketchup, tomatoes, pickles, lettuce, mayo, relish, bacon, grilled onions, ranch dressing, blue cheese, potato chips, avocado, jalapenos, chili, salsa, mac and cheese on a hot dog, and peanut butter. I used to work with a guy at a different radio station, and he got around. He began dating an ex-girlfriend of mine after they broke up, and it didn't last long. And after they broke up, she was getting hammered one night, and she told me that he had been very, very selfish in bed. Didn't surprise me, by the way. And now a new study found narcissistic men don't last long in bed, and they're more likely to have performance issues, too. Basically, guys who are really narcissistic tend to be overly focused on satisfying themselves, and they care more about the end result than about connecting with their partner. But that attitude can backfire. Men with an inflated ego are more likely to finish too early at the beginning of a relationship and not be able to perform at all once it's been a while. They're also more likely to prefer solo loving over the real thing. The hangry thing is real. A new study, the first to prove that being hungry and angry at the same time, one feeds the other, is a real thing. People were 34% angrier and 37% more irritable when they were hungry. A monument in Georgia known as the American Stonehenge got destroyed yesterday. Somebody blew it up. They think it was a QAnon nut because those people believe that the monument was satanic. I love this story because I can just imagine the chaos. Just imagine this in your head when they make this announcement. A bingo game in Brazil devolved into chaos when some sort of mistake caused more than 100 people to get bingo all at the same time. And Guinness says a guy from Italy now holds the record for the largest collection of Pepsi cans. He's got 12,402 of them. That's not a collection. That's a recycling depot. I'm just a newborn. Stranger in this town. Where are all the good times? Who's gonna show this stranger around? All right, Saturday night, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. There's going to be another performance, Under the Stars, by the Pink Floyd tribute band El Monstero. Kevin Gagnepan, been there since the beginning. Kevin G, if you prefer. We've had him on the air a couple of times, but this time I started scribbling down some unusual questions, and we really hit a gold mine. You are really going to enjoy this conversation with one of the members of El Monstero, Kevin G. We're going to be in the crowd on Saturday night again, and we've seen
awesome.
The indoor shows, we've seen the outdoor shows. But what about for the band and even the crew? Are there things that really go on that we never know anything about because the show is either indoors or outdoors? Oh my gosh, we can't do that. We got to do this way because this is the indoor show. That's the outdoor show. We can't do that. Is there stuff like that?
There is stuff like that. Like you can't shoot fireworks at the pageant. Some of the things that we do in the pageant work because the audience is close enough to be a part of it, where at the amphitheater, you have fans that are a football field away from you. And to see, you know, a girl hanging on scarves from a football field away is a lot less impressive than if she's over your head. So there are things that we do in one of the two types of shows. And, you know, there's a difference in energy level. When you're inside, you can really feel the crowd right off the bat. And outside, it takes a while to settle into the space and actually establish a connection with people in the audience and be able to draw energy from that. That it takes longer outside to do that than it does in.
I was going to bring this up later on in the conversation, but you mentioned it, so let's go there now. Let's talk about the acrobats and the pole dancers and those girls on the drapes that, you know, go up those drapes like a six-month-old kitten at a new apartment.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to be playing music up there, and it's a very intricate show and everything like that. It would seem to me that that would provide enough distraction where you might miss a note or two.
You know, I'd be a liar if I said that has never happened, but it's part of putting on a show that's something bigger than just a rock, different than just a rock concert. And it's something we've committed ourselves to. It's amazing when we see that stuff during sound check or we're running it like on a dress rehearsal and we actually get to see what the girls are doing because we, instead of performing, we can stand and play and watch them. It's really amazing some of the things that happen that during the show I may never see because I'm busy playing the part right and doing my own thing with the crowd while that's happening. So sure, it's happened.
Where do those girls come from and where does the production team find them?
It's changed over the years. There's been a lot of people involved with the show. The first aerialist, I think, was in 2004, and she went on to join Cirque du Soleil the year after.
Wow.
She was in El Montero, and so we lost her almost immediately. But shortly thereafter, we met Mega Legs, is her stage name, and she's a stilter and an aerialist and a circus performer. She's been part of the show since then and continues to be a part of the show, whether she's on scarves or on stilts or helping with costumes or whatever. She's a big part of that aspect of the production. The pole dancer girls are a different group of girls, and the girls that we have now are actually like competition pole dancers. You know, you have somebody do it 1 year and their friends are the other girls that do that part of the show, whether it be pole dancing or doing an acting bit or whatever. And then those friends have friends, and then somebody has to not do it 1 year, and some new person comes along. It's just kind of a word of mouth thing that goes around. But in that community of dancers and circus performers, their webs go very wide. They know lots of people in that thing, and it's never... We've never had a problem going, oh my God, we can't find anybody to do this. There's always been people we can call.
That was a great answer and everything, but I need phone numbers.
Okay, so I'll give you a funny bit because I know the question you're actually asking me. There was a year before we had the competition, the girls that we have now who are fantastic. There was a girl where a year where one of the pole dancers was a biochemist working for WashU, and the other was a doctor in Indiana. The two smartest people on stage were the two pole dancers.
Wow. Wow.
It's pretty. So, you know, I think maybe in the early years, we actually had some girls that also worked on the East Side. None of the current girls do that kind of pole dancing.
It just shows you, you can't judge a book by her lack of cover.
Exactly right.
So, yeah.
I may steal that quote. I'll credit you with it.
Sure. Sure. Take it away. Someday, you are going to be old and gray, and you're going to be sitting around, and somebody's going to interview you about your days as a rock and roll performer, and you're going to be able to tell them, oh, yeah, that 1 year, I think it was 2022, the band that opened for us once opened for the Rolling Stones. How does that feel to be able to think of it in those terms?
I don't know that I've ever thought of it. I have not thought of it that way, and I actually forgot that they did that, so you just said that. But Mick Jagger did play a part in their discovery, and I think the release of their first record, so it makes perfect sense. I was a huge Living Color fan, so it's going to be pretty out. You know, I mean, we've had a couple things like that over the years. Like, there was a year where we sold more tickets at the amphitheater than ZZ Top did. And it's like, how's that even possible? You know? And we're selling, like, close to the same numbers as Van Halen. And you're just going, man, this is crazy. It's pretty awesome. Elmont's become a really amazing thing that you know, I credit the entire St. Louis community with. It's that, you know, we've had this backing from our audience, and it's strong, and they bring new people, and the generations roll over to the next generation, and it keeps going. It's like our non-traveling version of the Grateful Dead. Some of the members change, the crowd keeps bringing, you know, the new generations of crowd, and the music just keeps carrying all of us through. So,
all right, all these questions I've had so far are just softening you up, because now I'm going after the big stuff here.
Now you're going deep.
Yeah. Well, I just happened to I happened to notice the conversation. I was interviewing Crosby, Stills, and Nash years ago. I remember asking Graham Nash, you perform on stage barefoot. Does that present a problem at all at any point? He said, oh, yeah, because Steven likes to spit on stage. And there have been times where I've stepped in it, and in addition to it being very unpleasant, I've almost slipped and fallen and broke my neck, you know, on the whole thing. Have there been any catastrophes or near catastrophes in any of the shows where we in the crowd never knew a thing about it?
Absolutely. We've had to abort shooting pyro because somebody was standing too close. That's a near catastrophe, not an actual catastrophe, but it's a real thing that, you know, we have a great staff, and people are all, everybody's doing their jobs and paying attention, but, you know, things can go wrong, and they didn't in that case. One year, John plays acrylic drums, and some of the flames were so hot that some of the drum shells actually warped a little bit.
They melted. Oh, man. God.
So that's happened. We had, we did Art Hill in 2014, and it was about 10,000 degrees that day.
Yeah.
And during sound check the night before, one of our crew guys actually had a Widowmaker heart attack, stepping out of the Johnny on the spot, and just fell over. And the next person in line to use the toilet was our pyro guy, who was also a trained fireman and paramedic. And so he had that guy not been the guy in line behind him, he probably wouldn't have made it to the next day. But he performed CPR immediately and kept him alive till the paramedics got there, and we got him to the hospital, and everything turned out. He was fine. People have fallen off stages, and depending on who you ask, one year we ran out of time at the amphitheater and didn't get to play Comfortably Numb. There's a lot of people that would consider that a catastrophe.
Oh, yeah, because there's a curfew. You got to get out of there by 11
o'clock. I don't know that I would put that on the same level.
Yeah, or they start finding you. There was a country act a couple of years ago that just basically said, screw it, we're going to play because we feel like it, and they got fined $120,000 because it's something like
that. Yeah, I mean, I forget what the fine is, but there is like a, I can't remember if it's by minute. There's a set, I mean, there's some rules that are pretty crazy out there when you go over time, and I think they've got some sort of ongoing legal thing with a close resident to the amphitheater that they haven't been able to work around. And I can't imagine that Live Nation doesn't have enough money to make that go away. But it hasn't gone away. It's still a curfew. So.
A really expensive Karen. We're out there to do it again. And the temperature's going to moderate.
That's awesome. Hey, and I know I tell you this every time, but we will not run out of water. And I'm pretty sure that Live Nation will not run out of beer. So.
good deal. I think that you've just.
I feel like I have to tell you that after the first outside show debacle,
you've just sold a lot of tickets. We're going at it again on Saturday night at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. It is El Monstero. That's all you need to say to most people. Tickets available to usual places, and it's going to feel like a breath of fresh air out there because the temperature is going to drop about 12 degrees in time for the show on Saturday night, according to the forecasts that we have right now. So it'll be wonderful. It'll be a great night. and Kevin G, which I just say Kevin G. He knows who it is. Unless you
want works for me.
Unless you want to go all the way to Gagnepan, you can do it too. El Monstero, Saturday night, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Let's get ready to do it. Kevin, as always, thanks much and have a great show.
Thank you, JC. We'll see you then.